He's wonderful, isn't he? Wonderful Saviour. Just been a feast this morning of just... Last week Dave mentioned that I think he'd had a bit of a tough week and he didn't want to go into details. Praise the Lord, I've had a tough week. I don't want to go into details, but I will say this. He is a wonderful Saviour. Dave again mentioned about coming into the prayer meeting on Thursday and he said it was just coming into the sanctuary. He's so true and so right. And I think he said something like, God's in the sanctuary and he's in session. Is that right? I loved it. And Thursday, I'd not been able to come for quite a while. And the prayer meeting's always described as an engine room of the church. And I came on Thursday and I felt like I was back in the sanctuary. Just one thing about it is that it just deflects the eyes off yourself and puts it onto the Lord for many other situations. It's a healthy thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for people that pray. When you're preparing to speak, because your mind's full of things that you want, really, you want the Lord just to speak through you and be this vessel with a few cracks and a few chips and a few... Ultimately, you just want the Lord to speak. He's spoken this morning. I missed an opportunity earlier on, but it's partly to do with, you know, we have to confess things, but I just lacked the urgency to get in there, and you have to at the Longcroft. But I just had a wonderful picture about that the Lord, it was Sue mentioned about the comfort zone, it's very true, and it's not just for young people. It can actually be more problematic as you get older. But we have to come out of our comfort zone. And I just sat there and I wanted to bring a word. I'll say it now because the Lord says, well, go and do it. Plus I'm stood here so I'm able to. But the picture of the boat with the disciples and the picture of that being a place of comfort. A comfort zone. And I thought the Lord calls us out of the boat. He calls us to make a step. Very simple step of faith to come into the unknown. I know someone sung a song about it, coming into the unknown. But the thing is, it is unknown, but also he wants our complete gaze upon Jesus. It is an absolute comfort zone. And a place that we can often stay when we're maybe fearful is to stay in the boat. But he does call us out onto the choppy waters. One thing about coming onto choppy waters, it will test your faith. You know, I sat there thinking, why can't we just stay in the boat and just be good Christians and stay in a place where we're just in a complete wonderful gaze upon the Lord and we're just... In actual fact, you won't. He actually does. And we sung the first song about the call goes out across the nations. It's the call that he wants you to initiate. No, he initiates it. He wants you to answer it. And that is, for someone here this morning, I felt when we just had that quiet time there, that there was someone who wanted to pray. It's not just a big movement or a big work that we have to do. It can sometimes be, he just wants you to open the little mouth. It's a wonderful start to your, he just wants you to just sound something out and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you. Every hour, and I just felt earlier on, don't feel that it's a missed opportunity. The worst thing is often, and now you get it when you stand up and you sit down after and you think, I didn't say this, that, I shouldn't have said that. It goes always. The Lord doesn't miss an opportunity. It's him that speaks. And this morning I just... The call goes out. From the safety of the boat, he wants us to take a step out. Step onto the choppy waters. But as you do, just fix your eyes on the Lord. It's a wonderful place to be in. And without going into my week at work, what it does do when you work and you're working with people, it keeps you very much grounded in the Lord. It keeps you in a place of total reliance on Him. And also one thing I've realised that if you're a Christian, we should have eyes that are of eternity. We should have something in our walk, in our mentality, of eternity. One thing that the world has, it's all very visual, but it's very temporal. And it just really helped me this week at work. In the absolute instability of work, of conflict, of personalities, and we've all got a personality. Personalities sometimes clash, don't they? But something that overrules that is the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus. But if you're in a place where the Lord isn't at, one amazing thing is, as Christians, we can have eyes that think of eternity. It helped me just this week to think, oh Lord, came through in the word earlier on about salvation. Praise the Lord for salvation. We should have eyes of heaven rather than what the world offers is very much temporal, visual pleasures that are offered up in so many different ways. Praise the Lord. I better get on to my notes. Just a few weeks ago, I was just talking in Ephesians, and I just want to continue in Ephesians. It's such a great letter of Paul. I think I said last time that it's one of his letters that doesn't specifically deal with a real issue in some of the previous letters. And so it's almost a general letter. But if ever your church or your local church was maybe going through a tough time, I'd almost say, go through together reading Ephesians. And just one verse that really struck me here. And last time I talked about muscles. I make no apology. I talked about muscles. When I say that, usually people look around and no, there's no muscles. But I talked about us being muscles, ligaments, or something that's knit together. This is because I've had to study anatomy, and I will finish anatomy at some stage. So. And I talked about the origin of muscle. Dave was out here and he did a great demonstration with a jaw of muscles. And I talked about muscle, and I said that every muscle has an origin. Every muscle has an insertion, somewhere where it's going. Every muscle has a function. And every muscle has a supply, which was the Holy Spirit. And I likened it to Ephesians being knit together. We're a local church, we're all knit together. Even for someone now I'm thinking of in a hospital that we heard of earlier on, we are still knitted together. For many others, I thought earlier on praying for boys' camp, girls' house party. They are down there now, they're possibly woken up and all their clothes are wet, their bedding's wet. But Lord, would you speak to those young boys and girls? I just went through all the friendships that I've got from boys' camp. Some now that the lads that I were with don't know the Lord, but they're still here. Some that are, I'm still friends with now. And just so blessed by it. Lord, move this week in that place. And other camps that we've heard of this morning, move. This is the amazing thing about being knit together. We can pray for many situations. So I talked about origin, insertion, function and nerve supply. And the amazing thing is that as we grow, and I don't like to use a word, but as we body build together, there is a sense in which you have to function. It's the Lord that gives the supply and the nerve, but he wants us to function. And this morning I want to kind of talk about the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus, that he's created an expression of himself now through us as a body. Okay, so you can look around at each other. If you love the Lord, you're in the body. He wants to use you. And he wants to be the expression of himself now through us. And then I thought, he's not just gone and done that. He's actually given us some armour. And I, being a lad, but I love the picture of the armour. And I just want to go through it this morning. Is that okay? Maybe I should be in one of the annexes this morning. Because you know all the things and you... I just want to talk about the armour. Is that okay? Because one of the things that we are so needing these days is to understand that there is an incredible spiritual warfare. Let's just wait. Sorry, just on that note, once... It does happen. My wife was in a meeting once and Di Patterson was speaking and her phone went off and he did say to Helen, "Helen, do you want to pick that up?" Well, but it was done in a nice way. I just want to talk about the armour. Just turn with me into Ephesians. Just one verse I stumbled across. Just in regard to the church and its growth. Last time I was talking about being knit together. Chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, I've underlined that, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know, I read that verse and I'm aware of situations of in church sometimes there can be problems and disputes, and I thought maybe one of the keys to church growth is this thing of everyone doing their share. You know, it's almost very practical, but do you know the amazing thing about growth is that if everyone does that little bit, that little share, I wonder if that's the thing that makes the muscle function. I know you might be sat there now thinking, well, that's obvious. But in practice, it's not. I think they say that 90% of the work is done by 10%. There's lots of different stats. But in actual fact, I think the health of a local church is that everyone does their share and feels like they're knitted in. I hope you do here. In the 8 years that we've been here, it took me just a few months to work out that many people do many bits. Many people do kindnesses. And there I think the Lord blesses. There's no amazing strategy, which these days the churches bombard you with strategies. There's books that you can buy. Oh, I've been to a bookshop in Canada and there's shelves of the 10 ways to do this, the 10 ways to do that. It's incredible. You can come out and feel swamped before you even read it. But the Lord, I just read this and I think everyone just does that little bit of a share. The muscle's working. Even those when you don't know, I was bombarded when I was younger about, you must know your ministry, your calling. One great person just said, oh, just serve. And in the serving, you function. The muscle gets bigger. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm blessed to be in a place, and it took me not very long when we came up here, but just bowled over the many that just do the little things that they can do. So much of it not verbal. Wonderful. I was at a Thanksgiving service the other day for Christine Ford. And the amount of people that I was speaking to afterward, just the things that they did, she was a good and faithful servant. Wonderful. Anyway, I'm going off. Maybe that's a good thing, though, to keep in mind. We all do our bit. If you're not sure what that bit is, just serve. A kindness, a word of love in season. You know, something that blesses me is even when someone turns up to something. I don't mean that in a rude way, but I've had it before when I've been sat somewhere in a meeting and then someone just comes in I've not seen for a while and something in my heart just, oh. It's the same when you miss people. I've missed certain people who aren't here this morning. Do you know? Because we're knitted together. I must get on to the armour of God. the Lord has not just made us a people and members knitted together. He's given us some protection. It came through in something we sung earlier on. I thank the uncreated sun, that thy bright beams on me have shined. I thank thee who hast overthrown my foes and healed my wounded mind. I thank thee whose enlivening voice bids my free heart in thee rejoice. One of the things about the armour of God is it protects the mind. We sung again earlier on another song which said, captive hearts can be released, troubled minds can know his peace. I think it's something like that. Troubled minds can know his peace. The amazing thing about the armour of God is it can protect the mind. There's instructions in chapter 5, just to briefly go through. Chapter 5 talks about instructions for singing together, making melody. Tonight, if the weather is good, we'll have some food together. And then hopefully we'll just sing together at part of it. And I thought, you know, the wonderful thing about singing together is just making melody with one another to the Lord. Spontaneous. Something can arise in us to the Lord, a song of praise. And then it goes on about submitting to one another, the roles of wives and husbands. And then it goes on to children. Then it goes on to bosses. And the week that I've had this week, oh, Lord, thank you that you're my boss. He's not a hard taskmaster. He loves his children. But what we must do is realise that we don't war against flesh, but there are realms in the heavenlies that so want to wreak havoc in people's lives. Let's go on to chapter 6. Actually, sorry, just before chapter 6, there's one little I think it's a citation of a hymn that Paul's got here in chapter 5, verse 14. And I was reading through it and I was thinking, well, what a place to put this. It is kind of linked, but it says this. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And I was sat there this morning, I read that, and I thought, that may be for someone here. But in actual fact, it's for all of us to either testify of that, or even now this morning, you can come to that place. Arise, you who sleep. I don't want to look now because there may be someone that's dropping off. I might say it louder. Arise, you who sleep. And in some ways, just to get serious, spiritually, if you are dead, he can arise and make you alive again. Seriously. Seriously. Thinking back to a boys' camp, there were signs then that the Lord was doing something in a young boy's life where he wanted to make me arise and be something to him. I was so asleep, I was so dead. But this morning, it's the same wonderful Saviour. If you are sleepy this morning, he can bring life. He can make you arise. He can make you take the step out of the boat. Christ will give you light. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's such a gentle Saviour that when he gives you light, you know that our lights aren't just to be a display to the world, but actually to expose some darkness and things that the devil's up to. Isn't that true? We are to be like a light city on a hill. I understand that our lives should be light, and where we go and where we walk. But in actual fact, the amazing thing is it does expose what the wicked one is doing. I thought about the military thing again. Sorry, I'm getting a bit militarified, if that's a word. But there's, when you're in warfare, there's a light that can go up in the sky, and then it just kind of poof, it goes like that, and it exposes those things that are attacking you. It's just like that, the wonderful light of the Lord Jesus. It goes up and it exposes the things that are so around at the moment, spiritually speaking. Talks in Scripture about evil days. These are evil days, aren't they? We mustn't have a childlike perception of the devil. Sat there just thinking over the weekend. I don't like to particularly speak too much about the devil from here. But in actual fact, there must be an understanding about how he works. To get the understanding of how he works, well actually, you'll understand why you need this armour. It says here, let's go on, let's finally get there. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put the whole armour of God, that you may put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One of the things I was thinking, if we are in Christ, then we have the whole armour of God. There's a tendency, I think, sometimes to think that we must pick up the shield of faith just for one certain thing, then we'll put it down. Just to remember, we've got a belt here, and then maybe some shoes. I'll put some shoes on. In actual fact, it's the whole armour we must put on. What are the wiles of the devil? I had to look up what wiles. I love to look up what words mean because it just helps me understand Scripture. Which is good, isn't it? Wiles. It's this word methodos or methods. And it struck me that he has methods. Trickery. And one, I think the interpretation of it is a Greek theme to wiles is that it basically is, it's a road. It's a road. And it basically is saying that the devil is on a road to somewhere. And we all know where that is. It's destruction. One of the things about the devil and his wiles are that he wants to get people on this road to destruction. You know, earlier on it talks about drink. It says here, instead of drink, he goes on to say, sing hymns, spiritual songs, make melody in your heart with giving thanks. But before that he says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. One of the things that with drink is, and I know about it through different people in, well, I don't want to say where and things, but what it does is it you lose your moral compass. Or your sensor. And it was a real problem at the time. And I'd say now, and we've heard even this morning, it's a massive problem now. I think I've said it before, but one of the busiest A&E departments in the world is in a place in an island called Ibiza. Why is that? Because it is absolute throne of where the devil's working. In music, in drink, in drugs, in a certain age group. It's a throne where he's just seeping out into things. We have to be aware of how the devil works. I know that you're saying it's not about flesh, but it's his minions, it's how he works. The spirit of this music that can just so grab people. The spirit of intoxication that can grab people. The wiles of the devil. He has methods. I've put here, just in my own words, he plays mind games. One of the things that is a weakness can be our minds. That's where we're all spirit, aren't we? I know we have a fleshy part here, don't we? but it's a spiritual realm, and he plays on the minds. But the precious Lord, he's given us a wonderful armour that can actually stave off the wicked one if we put it on. It says in Isaiah, let me just turn there. You don't need to go there, but just an example about the armour. You know that God wears armour? Here in Isaiah 59 it says this. You don't need to turn there. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according to he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands will be fully repaid. Wonderful picture that God wears the armour as well. I read a commentary, I think it's Matthew Henry, is that right? And I read his commentary just about the armour of God. And he likens it to being that we as Christians are in a no man's land. Don't think that there's no direction and we're not going anywhere. But it's in no man's land. And he likens it to us that God gives us the armour. And we have to put it on to align ourselves with God. And as we do that in no man's land, you have this spiritual warfare up in the heavenlies, it describes it, doesn't it, in Ephesians? And it's going on. It is going on big time. It's everything's going off. And in this commentary, it really helped me. But all he says, you've got to just take up the armour and put it on. And it says four times, stand. Stand. Stand and stand. I wonder if sometimes we can get confused by thinking that we've got to do all of the sword out, we've got to do all of this. Sometimes you can forget our Saviour fights for us. And he has fought for us. Let me read this verse. Time is going on. Revelation 12. Then, verse 10, if you want to be there. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Praise you, Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You know that we put the armour on in. We must have in our minds that he has the victory. But he wants us to stand in it. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, that you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. Precious Lord, by the blood he has overcome. Christians are, as it were, in a no man's land between opposing forces of God and the devil. We are called to align ourselves with God against his enemy by wearing the armour of God, which God himself wears. Here's the next thing. Back in Ephesians. For we do not wrestle, verse 12, chapter 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication. You know that when Jesus was tempted, and you'll find it in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted when he was taken to the wilderness, and it was at the stage when he was very hungry. You know, I talked about methods earlier on. The devil has methods of how to tempt us. He would find weaknesses in our armoury and he would go for that weakness. He'll see a little chink. Often it will be down to maybe a personality trait that we have. I sat at home making a list of my weaknesses. I don't recommend it. Concentrate on the strengths of the Lord Jesus. Concentrate on stepping out of the boat and looking to him. Because when you start listing them, that's where you realise that the devil will add to your list. And he will make the list bigger and bigger. But no, the Lord has overcome. He wants us to take our eyes off our list. Because we are sometimes our worst, the worst culprit. He wants us to look up. Look at the armour. Put on the whole armour. And one of the things that he will do, I've put here, the devil is a complete slanderer. One who utters false charges. One who misrepresents another's reputation. He's after reputation. You know that his chief enemy, I'd say, is the church. You may disagree. I know that it's God and the Lord. He is after the church. I'm amazed at how many headlines there are regarding the church. And often the wickedness that's gone on. You know that I was trying to speak to some people at work about coming to the Passion Weekend that we had in April. I may have said this before. And in the same day that I was saying to them, talking about it and trying to arrange that they could come along, there was a distraction in work, and it was on the radio and it was in the newspaper about things that were committed in the church. It was on the news about, a priest. And the whole conversation changed. And my sort of faithful come to this weekend. The wicked one had got in there. Used a headline in the news. And he was in there. And I just thought, Lord, I leave it with you. It must sadden the Lord's heart. Put the whole armour on. Be encouraged that he has overcome. The wicked one is a slanderer. He's after reputations. He's the sworn enemy of the church. He's the accuser of the brethren. Read that in Revelation. And I just put here in bold letters that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Oh. You know, when you read, and I don't recommend this, but I'd be reading just about the wiles of the devil and what he's up to. The thing that lifts me back up just in my own reading is that the blood of the Lamb. So much more powerful. So much more cleansing. So much more real in a life today. My time is going. Engaging in spiritual warfare. One of the items of armour. You know, there were loads of things about the armour. I once did something on the shield of faith. And I loved making my shield. And I had it here. And I looked at all the correct measurements. It's a massive shield. I think it's almost nicknamed the door. So you're picking up a door. But the importance of that is it protects all your other armour. Which basically means, it says above all, I think that also means that maybe it's the most important, I don't know. But in actual fact, it's very important because it's protecting the other things. This is faith. One of the things that the world is against and the wicked one is against now, he's after your faith. He's after the growth of it. He's after the application of it. He wants to stop it even before the seed stage. He wants to play on a mind that, oh, where am I at? Where? And Dave was saying last Sunday about the thing of receiving the Holy Spirit. I was going, yes, 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 totally agree with you. I went through a stage saying, have I received the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? How's it going to come? How's it going to affect me? Do I need to go and ask a really important man or woman that I've got it? Do I get it in Scripture? And I went through a whole... I was looking at other people thinking, they must be filled with the Holy Spirit. They pray in such a way that... In actual fact, I had to go away myself, just with the Lord. Got on my knees. But it's an important thing. Be being filled. Put on the armour daily. Not something you just did in the 1970s and some revival happened. It's today. I don't want to just be protected by my mum and dad's armour, although very blessed by it when I was growing up. Very blessed by the armour. But the wonderful thing is the Lord has an armour for those who are in Christ here today. Put your armour on. The shield that protects. The belt of truth. This belt holds many things. The sword. It's important. It's a foundational thing of truth. Around here. Breastplate. Protection. Watches your vital organs. That's what we need, isn't it? Helmet. Against the lethal blow. Sword. I'm thinking about sword. Close combat. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? What did he do? And what did he use? Scripture, didn't he? Deuteronomy. He used the word of God. Close quarters. Be ready. Be ready for when someone comes and challenges you. Be ready for that sword just to come out. You might need to just say something. Remember a scripture. I would say that's the only thing that's offensive. Much of it is defensive, isn't it? Put it on. It's there, just stand. But the sword, you can do that. Under the Spirit of the Lord, you can know your word. I've not left it too late. I'm redeeming the time of just trying to memorize scripture. You can do it even at an older age. But if you're younger, memorize it. Think on it. Dwell on it. You might need it in close quarters in battle. I won't go into detail on all the things, but just amazing picture, isn't it? Paul was under arrest in the house guard, or he would have seen a Roman soldier, the legionnaire, walking around, and he just got the picture, I think, of that soldier and used that. And even now we, as a local body of members, can pick up on that picture that he had and use it now. How wonderful the Lord's scripture is, isn't it? Here's the last one. I think it's the forgotten about piece of armour. Pray in the Spirit. My time is gone. Maybe I could come back to it sometime, if you'll allow me. It's exciting though, but pray in the Spirit. Prayer. Just the vital thing. Praying in the Spirit is not having the longest prayer with the most eloquent words. I have to keep telling myself that. It's the little voice that is just in wonderful connection with us, Lord Jesus, in humility and honesty. I had it written down somewhere here, something about prayer in the Spirit is an admission of a believer's ignorance and dependence on God. Isn't that a place for praying in the Spirit? That's from my Holman Study Bible. Jill Silver, thank you for buying me that a couple of years ago. It's wonderful. Such an aid. Spirit energized, spirit enabled, spirit directed. That's prayer, isn't it? It can be hard. I've heard it from here said before. It can be hard prayer. But we must pray in the spirit. That's the thing that enters into the spiritual warfare and engages. Pray in the spirit. Can I leave you with a positive? It's the blood that's overcome. Precious Lord. This morning, if you have a troubled mind, the Lord Jesus this morning can bring peace. If you feel like you're fighting without the armour, then this morning you can pick up the whole armour of God. Do we need it? Absolutely. How often do we need it? Daily. Do we need to look after it? Yes. But we need to function in it. As we leave this place here this morning, I often find that when I've talked about things of the devil, often I will need to make an extra stand and an extra stance. You know that the shoes that are described here, the Roman shoes had these metal cleats that were put into them. And they used to be the things that they would just dig in like that and make a stance. Position themselves. That's what we must do if the Lord's people. Stand. Position ourselves with the armour. Should we do that? I feel like singing something like Church Your Eyes. Not on an emotional thing, but to say this is very real. It will face me on a Monday. It will face you in a college. It will face you in times when you don't have much on. That's when often the wicked one can come in. It can face us all in different situations. But the Lord says, Church, arise. Just stand. Should we do that this morning? Precious Lord, I know time has gone. I'm not getting in trouble. Should we stand? Maybe we could sing Church, arise. Is that okay?
1981.
Just as a response from our hearts. I want to. Last Sunday I stood. I responded at the end and I just stood. I was very, very weary. But I'm so glad I just made a stand in the Lord. I had remembered what David said and I did respond. But I just wanted to stand. The Lord's saying, would you stand? Should we?